each of you today, and especially our visitors. We're glad to have Lisa with us today, and that's one of the reasons we sing Jesus Loves Me when she's here. It's good to have Rodney back with us. He's a college guy now, majoring in criminal justice, so we may have to behave. And it's good to have my buddy Charlie Rowland back with us. Always good to see him. And we have Lee Sanford's brother and sister-in-law with us here all the way from Massachusetts. People come a long ways just to hear me preach. Isaac is beginning a gospel meeting today at his home congregation in Middle Tennessee. That's his first gospel meeting. I will have two gospel meetings, really a portion of three in the next few days, and my next meeting will be number 747 for me. I remember my first gospel meeting in July of 1961, and Isaac is holding his first one today, and I predict that that will not be his last one. 2 weeks from today, I will be finishing 4 years of work with you. I want to speak that morning on the subject, the state of the Madison County Church of Christ. The president gives a state of the union, the governor gives a state of the state. I want to share with you some ideas 2 weeks from today about how I see the Madison County congregation and how I see our future. We'll start our fifth year of work together the 1st of November. It doesn't seem like it could be that way. And by the way, I mentioned those meetings. I have preached in over 70 gospel meetings since I started work with you. That would probably include at least 60 different churches. I've been back to the same one a few times. But we are affecting the work of a lot of people through the work that I'm doing in meetings and the work that Isaac is doing. And Isaac is speaking now at some of the youth meetings in the area. And I commend you for supporting us to be able to do that. I will be preaching the next 3 nights at Sardis out from Henderson, 25 miles. That's finishing the meeting that I had to close because of laryngitis. I'll go on Thursday of next week to Katy's, Kentucky and preach for Joiner's Chapel in a building that was moved from the grounds when Fort Campbell, Kentucky was built. They had to move the building over to get off of the grounds where the fort is. I'll go through next Sunday morning there and leave it Sunday afternoon and go to my home county and preach Sunday night through Wednesday night. So I've got preaching to do for the next 11 days, including today. But I do have it sort of scattered out a little better than that time I spoke 21 times in 4 days and took laryngitis. I'm trying to use a little bit more common sense. I think as I get older, I may learn to use that a little bit better. I want to ask you two questions. Number one, do you have hope of going to heaven? Number two, why do you have that hope? We are in the midst of a series of lessons on the subject of hope. I indicated to you when we started this that sometimes we may become so involved in what we call doctrine from the Bible, and that's important, that we forget to think about the assurance that we need of being saved and being ready to go to heaven. I think this is about the fourth or fifth lesson in this series, but it's based upon a passage in 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and here's the part, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. Not only do we need to be able to answer that first question with a yes, that I have hope, that I believe that there is a heaven, and I believe that I can go to that heaven, but we need to think about that second question, why do we believe that? And here in this verse, he says, you need to be ready. to give an answer to everyone that asketh a reason for the hope that is within you. Now I want you to also notice what comes next after what I have just quoted. He said, with meekness and fear. As I look at those two words, meekness meaning a calm approach to life, firm but calm, and fear referring basically to the idea of respect for God and for others, that it is emphasizing that as you and I give a reason for our hope, and we let people know that we do believe that there is a heaven and that that we believe we're going there, that we do it with an attitude of meekness and fear, an attitude of humility, never leaving the impression that we think we are better than others, but leaving the impression that because we trust in God and depend upon Him, we have a promise of something that is better. You know, it is easy sometimes for us who believe that we are Christians and have the right relationship with God to allow ourselves to look down on other people and sort of think we are better. We are better in that we're in Christ. That's true. We have a better life if we are Christians. I don't disagree with that. But folks, as we approach people to let them know why we believe Christianity is important and why we believe we have that hope as Christians, we need to do it in a way to not push people down, but to help bring people up. And not to say that I'm better than you and you need to do exactly like I'm doing, but to say Christ is better than both of us and we need to do what Christ did to the best of our ability and what He wants us to do. And hope is to be in you, and you're to be ready to give an answer. You certainly are not going to be ready to give an answer if you don't have the hope, if the hope is not in you. If you are not convinced that you have hope of heaven, how are you going to teach other people? How are you going to be ready? Now, as we look at that second question, why we have that hope, I want to share with you seven reasons that I believe caused me to have hope in an eternal home with God in heaven, and I suspect the same reasons that cause you. The first point that I mention is nature itself. Romans 1 says that if we just look at the things that are about us, we are without excuse because there's enough surrounding us that should convince us that there is a greater power. Now, nature, apart from the Bible and without the knowledge of the Bible, does not explain itself as to what that power is. But just looking at nature and realizing what happens there gives us hope. Jesus said in Matthew 6, look at the birds of the air. God takes care of them. Look at the flowers, the lilies of the field. God takes care of them. These do not sow and reap, and yet they have their needs met. And then He says, if God will take care of these, won't He take care of you, a greater creature and a greater existence than all of these things? And so as you and I look at the activities around us every day in nature, and we see God's care there, and knowing the Bible helps us to know that it is God that is behind all of this, it ought to give us some assurance and some hope that we are serving a Creator who thinks something about His creation, who is concerned about His creation, to where He takes care of these lower forms of His creation. Therefore, we can come to the conclusion that He'll take care of us if we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. These things shall be added to us, in verse 33 of that same chapter. In the second place, I have hope in heaven because God said that I can have that hope in heaven. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, Hebrews 6:19. We've already talked about that in a previous lesson, and we will have one lesson at the end of this series based upon the song, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. But the fact that God said that He will take care of us and He promised that this hope is there and that we can have that assurance in it, and that's mentioned at least three times in the sixth chapter of Hebrews, especially with that anchor of the soul. And when I look at a statement like 1 John 1:9, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Especially like that word just. God's not going to be influenced by any power. He's not going to be bought off by any amount of money. He's not going to have His law reversed by some one judge sitting in a place that will reverse that which the people have decided. God is just. He's faithful and just. God is going to do that which is right. I conduct a lot of funerals, and sometimes I'm asked to speak at a funeral where the person's life has not been a good example, where he is not a Christian, where technically there is no hope whatsoever, if the Bible be true, and I believe it is. And I have the task of standing before a family where there's really no hope and try to find some words of comfort. One thing that I do say many times is that I'm glad that everything is in the hands of God, who knows all of us better than we know ourselves and know each other. And I am convinced of one thing, that God is too good to do anything that is wrong. I believe that. And even if, based upon the evidence, it appears to me that a person has not lived in such a way to have that hope, I'm still willing to leave everything up to God. Even if I am convinced by the information that I have that a person doesn't have the hope of heaven, if there's some way that God knows about that I don't know about, I'd be glad for Him to use it. And so knowing that God is just is one of the things that gives me hope in that home in heaven. I have that hope because I'm able to go to the Scriptures. Romans 15:4 says, the things written aforetime, that's referring even to the Old Testament Scriptures, the things written aforetime were written for our learning. And we usually will almost stop right there and say, you see, the Old Testament teaches if God says something, we're to do it. If He says don't do it, we're not to do it. And all of that's true, but let's go ahead with the rest of that verse. The things written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. He says one of the reasons that the Old Testament Scriptures are there, one of the reasons that they've been revealed and preserved for us, is to give us hope. Let me just give you one or two examples. If David, after the rank sins that he committed, could later be called a man after God's own heart, that gives us hope. And if Moses, who made some gross mistakes, to the extent that he couldn't go into the physical land of Canaan, can eventually go to the spiritual land of Canaan, that gives us hope. And so when we turn to the Scriptures and we see the examples of people in the past, that helps us to have a reason and for the hope. And I can say to someone, this is a reason that I have hope because the Scriptures tell me these things. The reason, comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. I have that hope because of the specific, direct promises that are given to us in the Bible. They're called great and precious promises in 2 Peter 1:4. Described as being that inheritance that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven in 1 Peter 1 and verse 4. And mentioned with the word hope in 1 Corinthians 15:19, that if we have hope in this life only in Christ, we are of all men most miserable, which is saying because of what is written and what has happened, we have hope in that life that is to come. And this has just touched the hem of the garment. of all the scriptures that give us those promises. And especially when you tie these promises back to that point made earlier that God is just, then the conclusion is God will keep his promises. And so if God has promised us that we can go to heaven, and we are doing not perfection but faithfulness in our living for God, we can count on those promises. As we sometimes hear it said in our day, you can take that to the bank. Because of the promises God has made, I can have hope in heaven. To put it another way, I can have the assurance of salvation. This is mentioned in Romans 8, 14 and 15, or really 24 and 25, where he says we're saved by hope. And in the fifth chapter of Romans, where he says that God let his son die for us in that while we were yet sinners, and that we can be saved because of that blood, verse 9 of that chapter. We also have the teaching in 1 John 1, 7, that the blood of Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Doesn't say we don't sin. Doesn't say we won't need forgiveness. We do. But he says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Whatever mistakes I make or you make. Before becoming Christians, when we're baptized into Christ, his blood cleanses us of all past sins, and then from their own, his blood continues to cleanse us as we live penitent, humble lives. Can we sin and be lost? Yes, if we turn our backs upon Christ, but he won't turn his back upon us as long as we hold on to him. Can we have that assurance of salvation? I find myself concerned about the person who says, I know I'm saved, I feel it right here, and I can't be lost, I can never do it. That's false doctrine. But let's don't go to the other extreme, to where we have no hope and no assurance. We can have assurance and believe that we are saved and that we will go to heaven based upon God's teaching, not based upon our feelings or taking a poll of our friends to see if they think we're all right. But we can have that assurance. There's a verse in 1 John 2, 5 that I like. Whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Listen to this. And hereby know we that we are in him. That's the hope we're talking about. Hereby know we. How? By keeping his word. This is what he said, do. I'm doing my best to live as he wants me to live. Therefore, I can know that his promises are real. And then I have hope because of the companionship of Jesus Christ as a Savior. Not only did he shed his blood to pay the price for our sins, but he promises to be a companion. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hebrews 13:8. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, and I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. I'm not talking about a relationship where Jesus is speaking to us or there's some mystic, mysterious idea there. Certainly our knowledge of him is through the word. But to know that he is there making intercession for us as the Holy Spirit also is making intercession for us, Romans 8, in that same chapter where it says we're saved by hope. Knowing that if even our closest friends were to forsake us, that Jesus is there. That we have something that we can hold on to that will never leave us. Gives us hope. And then the seventh point that I mentioned. And this may be the one that makes all of these other six possible and may be the most important one. I believe that I have hope in heaven because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The radio station at Fried Hartman for the last several months has been at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning going back and picking out a lecture of the Fried Hartman lectures over the years and playing those lectures. 2 or 3 weeks ago, when I got in the car and turned on the radio, that's usually about the time I leave to come in this direction, there was a man by the name of Pat Hartman speaking. A few of you in here know the background of Pat Hardeman. Pat Hardeman was a Christian. He left the church and literally denied everything that he'd been taught and believed. And for a few years was almost an atheist. But then he turned around and came back, became faithful to the church, and remained faithful to Christ and the church. And in this speech that he was making, he was talking about his experiences. And he said, there was one thing that I could never get over. That one thing brought me back to the truth. And he said it was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When you look at all other things that have been said and done, the fact that this man Jesus died and was buried and then rose from the grave, that resurrection of Jesus from the grave, never to die again, is something that just gives us that foundation and that hope. In fact, in that resurrection chapter of 1 Corinthians 15 that talks so much about the resurrection of Jesus, he said if we didn't have that resurrection, our faith would be in vain. Our preaching would be in vain. All of the hope that we have would be in vain. You read along about verses 15 through 22, especially in that chapter, and you have all these points. But he says, because of that resurrection, we have hope not only in this life, but in the life to come. And because of that resurrection, down toward the end of that chapter, he says, even death doesn't continue to have its sting or its victory. Because in Christ we have the victory that we need. And he concludes in the last verse of that chapter, therefore, why? Because of all of this made possible and proven by the resurrection of Jesus. He says, therefore, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. What gives us a reason to be working in the Lord's kingdom? What gives us a reason that we believe there is light at the end of the tunnel, that we believe there is hope, that we believe there is a heaven? More than anything else, it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When we believe in his virgin birth, that he was the only begotten Son of God, and when we believe in his resurrection, we've got something there that we can use to give that reason of the hope that is within us. And then he tells us why we need to give this reason. He says in verse 15, sanctify the Lord. If you have a reason of hope, it praises God. In verse 16, he talks about a clear conscience, having a good conscience. Having that hope in heaven allows us to go to bed tonight in the peace of God that passeth all understanding. In verse 14, he talks about times of persecution. I'm sure that none of us knows the baggage and the problems that the rest of us are carrying. We all have problems and difficult times. But having that hope gives us that help. Then in verse 15, he especially points out that it's to help us to teach and encourage others. And in verse 16, in the word conversation, which sometimes is translated conduct, he says it gives us a reason and a guide for our daily living. Being able to give a reason for the hope that was within us. We believe in God, we believe in Christ, we believe in heaven, we believe we're going there. And having that hope and being able to give the reason for it affects us in all these ways. Let me emphasize those two words. Be ready. Be ready to give the hope. Be ready to preach the gospel, Paul said, Romans 1:14. Be ready to depart this life, he said in the last chapter that he wrote that we have recorded. Be ready. Because if you and I are ready, we can have that hope. Are you ready to take advantage of that hope that you have? Have you been baptized as a penitent believer for the remission of sins, to contact the blood of Christ and to put you in Christ? And are you living faithfully, not a perfect life, but faithfully in the Lord's service? If you're not, come to him as together we stand and sing.
What will you do with